Okay, so as I mentioned before with Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, it is more by topic than by malacha. So just as when we were discussing most recently Bishul, and we went through a number of different malachos and a number of different issues, both Midah Oraisa and also Midah Rabbanan, and all kind of put into this one topic of this activity, this enterprise of cooking and heating and rewarming on Shabbos and before Shabbos, so we got into a number of different areas. Similarly here, when we speak about toys and games on Shabbos, it's not going to be discussing a particular malacha, but rather a whole host of different malachos that could potentially come up as we're having this kind of conversation. So with that, let's get started. And what the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa begins with, and we're in Perek Tes Zayin now, for those of you following along in your own Sfarim, be the Hebrew or English, what he begins with is a very, very important hashkafa. And as with many hashkafos, we need to really try it on for size and give it its due, and not just be immediately turned off. It's too hard. It's too difficult. What's he talking about? How can this be? On the one hand, and at the same time, try to look at it through sort of measured glasses and to embrace the reality of Yuridas Hadoros and Iskatnu Hadoros, and maybe we're not still quite at the place of really being able to fully embrace the idea that we'll speak about now, at least not necessarily in its purest form, but it should always be looming, always be lingering in the background when we think about what Shabbos really is meant to be a day for. So let's take a look. Aleph, kol adinu hamuvim b'perek zeh. All of the halachas that we're going to talk about here, all of this is not really for us, says Rav Neuvert. Amurim legabe yeladim shalamatim yigil bar mitzvah o bas mitzvah bilvad. We're talking about kids, children, who are under bar and bas mitzvah. We're certainly not speaking about halachic adults. We're not speaking about children over the age of bar bas mitzvah. We're certainly not speaking about, I don't know, adolescents, or certainly not who you and I would refer to more colloquially as adults. The ilu achare ovrim gil zeh. Once somebody has passed that age, once somebody's beyond bar bas mitzvah, vaday ratzui, it's certainly best, appropriate, it's desirous, sheyim na'u atzma mischak b'Shabbos uv'yom tov. They should refrain from playing games on Shabbos. It's not what Shabbos is. Shabbos is not a day to play games. It's not a day of recreation. We speak of it as a day of rejuvenation. And too often, I guess in our culture, in our world, the two go hand in hand, rejuvenation and recreation, but they're not one and the same. Rejuvenation means we're restoring ourselves, we're restoring our spirits. And to do that, at least exclusively or purely or chiefly through the vehicle of toys and games and the like, board games and nothing that necessarily involves direct malacha, but nevertheless, says Rav Neuvert here, we should be cautious. We should be cautious before we proceed to look at Shabbos as a day that's set aside for those purposes. Shabbos is the dearest, most cherished of all days. Oneg nitna was given for oneg. What do we mean by oneg? Oneg ruchni me'ein olam haba. It's given as a day of oneg ruchani. It's given as a day of spiritual satisfaction, spiritual enjoyment. Me'ein olam haba, and Chazal tells us it's like 1/60th of the world to come, Shabbos. Now, we should be aware, and I'm sure we are all aware, remember that we've just done many, many weeks, many months even, I think, at this point, on Bishul B'Shabbos, speaking about how we go about cooking, warming up food on Shabbos, rewarming food, hot, cold, liquid, solid, et cetera, et cetera. Why is this also important? Because we eat a lot. We eat a lot on Shabbos. We're meant to eat a lot on Shabbos. So if we're meant to eat a lot on Shabbos, and Shabbos is really a day of delicacies and delicious food, so then how do we, isn't this like talking out of both sides of our mouth? How do we claim that it's also supposed to be a day exclusively for Oneg Ruchani? So the reality is that there are certain physical enjoyments, certain physical pleasures that we enjoy on Shabbos that absolutely do serve to heighten the day, and that the two become sort of intertwined. The concern is more that when it comes to looking at the day as being just this huge expanse of a day that just lays out before me, and I could dedicate myself to hours and hours of different rounds of board games, or even different rounds of books that may be relaxing, maybe enjoyable, but aren't really restorative in a spiritual capacity. So we're going to eat meals. And eating is one of the hallmarks of a special occasion and a special event of a special day. And insofar as we're eating, we should be eating good food, because that is, we always look to the physical, because we're physically oriented. We always first look to the physical to try to reflect and express how dear and how meaningful something is, even on a spiritual level. We make a point of dressing beautifully, and we wear our finest clothing, and we eat our best food, and we try our best to eat on our nicest dishes, and all those kinds of things. All true, absolutely true. But at the same time, to view the day as just being a day of recreation, of playing, isn't appropriate. And anybody who is mechabe Shabbos by refraining from his own derech, his or her own derech, meaning just accomplishing whatever it is that I want to do today. This is my day. How am I going to make myself feel? How am I going to make myself feel good? We should do our best to constantly, always be mindful of that very, very difficult sort of straddling of the fence that we need to do on Shabbos, where we, on the one hand, yes, we indulge in certain pleasures, physical pleasures and personal pleasures on the one hand. On the other hand, looking at those things more of an entry into this blissful me'ein olam haba sort of experience that Shabbos is meant to be. We are leveraging the physical in order to try to feel something that is more ethereal and more spiritual. So anybody who does so, v'chol mechabdo me'asos bo derachav, if we are mechabe Shabbos by not just by indulging whatever it is that we personally want to do and want to accomplish on Shabbos, but that we view it as a day to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we commune with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nos nimlo nachla b'li mitzarim, such a person is granted a nachla b'li mitzarim, an inheritance without borders, without boundaries in the world to come in terms of his relationship with Hashem. So it's a very, very, as I said, it's a very important hashkafa in terms of how it is that we view Shabbos. What is the purpose of Shabbos? What are we meant to do? And what are we meant to occupy ourselves with on Shabbos? I will say, and I don't think, and I'm not saying that this is an exception to the rule, as Rav Neuwirth himself saw it, any of the earliest sources that always speak about Shabbos in this capacity, and even contemporary sources who do. But we should be aware of a number of realities. One is that using Shabbos as a day to connect with one another and connect with people, create community, create family harmony, family unity, is also very, very important. And I don't think it would be wrong to look at that as no small measure of oneg ruchni. And sometimes games help with that. Sometimes games help with that, particularly because children and grandchildren, I don't think in our generation continue to look up to us and revere us purely for being very reserved and very much at a distance from them, as I can only imagine it had been, at least more so, probably not completely, never completely, never fully, but much more so back in the day than it is now, which means that as much as there may have been a greater, and it can create maybe greater reverence to be the sort of parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, individual who's just, he's always learning at the table, right? He's always just learning all through Shabbos. As much as there may be something to be said for that, the ability to kind of like roll up your sleeves and actually sprawl out on the rug and actually get down and dirty with the bristle blocks can be very, very important. Halavai that as spouses, we should all be able to connect to one another by learning together and by, singing zmiras at the table or just being in each other's company while we're each, learning our respective svarim or whatever it is that ideally it's meant to look like. But the reality is that there is no small measure of connection that could actually be developed and that could actually be gained by playing a game and taking out a board game and just enjoying each other's company. So what I mean to say is let's bear in mind both. Let's keep both in mind. Let's keep in mind that it is Shabbos. Shabbos is meant to be a day of kavana. Shabbos is not just a day that sprawls out in front of us and it's an opportunity to do whatever it is that we, I wanted to get around to, that recreation that I feel like I needed and sort of deserved all week long and I wasn't able to find it. I just got this. I bought this board game on Amazon and I've been looking. I've been excited to play it just for the sake of playing and doing and kind of like spacing out. let's do our best to try to make those things with a little bit more kavana and a little bit more purposeful, a little bit more intentional, that this is a means to an end. If it's a means to an end because we're cultivating an important relationship, spouse, child, grandchild, parent, friends, and the like. So let's do our best to view it in that capacity. And even as we do, I don't think there's anything wrong, even as we do, when letting out a little krech, it's like, you know what? Ah, like halavai that we should all just be able to connect over some Torah and over some learning. Halavai if we were all just, only the purest of beings. But let's also own up to the reality of being who we are and still try to make it as purposeful, as intentional, and as impactful as we possibly can, particularly on Shabbos. So let's take a look and let's consider what we need to consider when it comes to certain toys, games, again, things that we might want to play on our own, things that we might only be doing for the purpose of some of the youngsters who are around. So, Beis, we should be aware of the following. Hashmas called b'chol klisha hu asura. There is an issue on Shabbos that we may or may not be familiar with, which is the notion of hashmas kol, allowing a sound, producing a sound, or doing something on Shabbos that produces a sound. And specifically producing a sound, this is ill-defined, not easy to completely define it, but producing a sound that tends to be on the intrusive side. This is something of an extension. It's its own takana, but it's sort of an extension of an uvda d'chol, idea that we are accustomed to our homes being filled with certain noises during the week, and Shabbos is meant to be a day apart. It's meant to be an oasis of serenity, of calm, and quiet. If you have a bunch of little kids at home, you might well be giggling and or rolling your eyes as I say this. But nevertheless, the sound of laughter and the sound of kids playing is still not the same as really intrusive noises where the radio is going in the background or somebody has their iPod or iPhone plugged in and blasting over a speaker in the kitchen. And there's some landscaping noise, going from outside and different appliances that are running. So this is its own consideration. Hashma'as kol. Now, as this occurs with certain kinds of toys and other noisemakers that kids might be using or that might be involved in, let's say, some sort of game. That's a whole conversation about hashma'as kol there that we will get to at some point. So when we speak about the different kind of item that might be used, an actual tool or an actual toy that might be used in this capacity, so we would include the following. Him ha-pa'amon, a bell. Harashan, some sort of noisemaker. Rashan is like a grogger, some sort of noisemaker, again, that makes like a more intrusive noise. That's its purpose. Its purpose is to make a noise. Hamash Rokit is a whistle. Hatzav Tafa, also, I think, some kind of whistle. V'chayut Sabahan, all these kinds of things that are there specifically to produce a sound and to produce, the idea is that it produces a sound that's clear, that's present, and that can be construed as intrusive. All these things are really mukta. Since we can't use them, they also become mukta. Since they're mukta, not only can we not use them, but we really cannot even move them. However, to whistle with one's mouth, mutter. That is mutter. Mutter to whistle on Shabbos. Again, that's not being done with a kli. So it's true that it makes a noise. Singing also makes a noise. Everything that we do with our mouths, it makes a noise when we're projecting either our voices or our singing voices. So whistling would be in that capacity. Also speaks in the footnotes about even whistling like with your fingers all being mutter on Shabbos. But using a kli to do so is problematic in of itself. So depending on what kind of games and what sort of toys kids might be playing with for a very long time, I think it goes back even to Elisa. We have like a kid's drum set and all these other instruments, little like tambourine and things like that that go inside of the drum set. So those are things that we should be aware of shouldn't really be played with on Shabbos. Similarly, and this is probably where it comes up even more, electronics that make a lot of noise. So the reason why I bring that up now, obviously, if you're talking about a child who's using electronics on Shabbos, then they're beneath the age in all likelihood of trying to steer them clear of things that make noise, but I'm not sure. Meaning, there is something to be said for trying to prevent hashma'as kol, meaning for trying to prevent just that there's a lot of noise in the house, even without necessarily there being an explanation of Shabbos. So meaning if a child is too young to at all appreciate anything about Shabbos and to have a conversation about, you know, that's really muktzah, we don't do that on Shabbos, not on Shabbos Kodesh. Even so, to just be aware of trying to hide those sorts of toys, to keep those kinds of toys away that that otherwise would make noises and potentially are intrusive to the atmosphere that everybody else is enjoying on Shabbos. Popping sound, like with the game Trouble, I don't think that is a problem. Something that is not meant to be a noisemaker, but that just makes like, incidentally makes a sound. I don't think that's a concern. The reality is that even, I mean, we'll get to these kinds of things, but you know, rolling dice on a table in of itself, it makes a sound. I don't know. Shuffling cards. I mean, that's, you know, you could go nuts with this, but meaning something that is specifically there to make an actual sound, that is what's more problematic. If you take a look at Gimel, let's speak about this or contrast this even with Mutr Litein Bidei Tinok Katan Min HaTza'atzuim HaMashmi'im Kol. So you could put into the hand of a child, a small child, those toys that make a sound. I think he's talking about like rattles and things like that. That either you press them, you push them, or you shake them, and they make a noise. So he's noting that it is mukta, that this is not mukta in of itself. It's not considered to be a kli that really makes a sort of noise that would really come under hashma'as kol, and therefore render the actual object, the actual item asr, and therefore mukta. But we should still refrain from doing so ourselves. An adult should refrain from making noise with those kinds of things. Gam im osakein bishvil atinok, even if he's doing so, she's doing so for the sake of the child. Notes in a footnote. Let me just get to this question here. But he notes in a footnote from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman wasn't completely convinced of this, that it could be that if it's being done, for the purpose of a child, that might actually be motor, particularly if it's like more of a, I don't know if we could call it a formal shas hadachak, but close to a shas hadachak, you have a kid who's really starting to lose it. And if they're starting to make a whole lot of noise, then that might be the line at which you say, okay, so I can make a little bit of noise in order to try to calm them. How about the new popping toy? Well, yeah, I assume you're talking about like those plastic, like the silicone kind of discs, like with the bubbles on it. Is that what you mean? I don't know. Those are very popular. I don't know, parents, young kids, if that's those become popular in your house. Those really don't make a sound at all. Assuming that's what you're talking about. Again, if it's something that just happens to make noise incidentally, but it's not there as a noise maker per se, then that would really be okay. That's the discussion that he has in the footnotes here also about rattles, that rattles are really meant to soothe and to calm. Not the point is not to make a noise. Like my kids have in all their dress up stuff down here in the basement, they have like maracas and like tambourines that, you know, go with all kinds of crazy outfits. Also, those are the kinds of things that we should, something that is there specifically in order to make a noise, to produce a noise for someone to hear, for somebody else to listen, as opposed to something that's just meant to, you know, soothe and maybe even distract a really, really small child. So that would be the difference here. These would not be considered to actually be mukta themselves. So certainly to pick it up and give it to a child, that would be mutter, as opposed to like a tambourine, really not. Tambourine should really be off limits. We should really consider those things to be mukta, even for adults on Shabbos. Okay, questions good so far? Let's go. Let's take a look at Dalet. So Ein L'Mechos B'Yiladim HaMishchakim B'Chol Hadak V'Hayavesh. You shouldn't prevent. There's no need to prevent kids from playing in dry sand. When you put it like that, it sounds ridiculous. But of course, he's speaking about a sandbox. Don't prevent them from playing in the sand. Drop them off at the beach before Shabbos. Say, kids, here's a couple of challah rolls and a bottle of grape juice, and I'll be back in 25 hours. So if they're playing with dry sand, that's fine. What does that mean, dry sand? Playing in a sandbox. Playing in a sandbox is mutter for small kids on Shabbos. The actual sand itself, since it was set aside, it's considered to be a plaything, as opposed to falling under the muktzah rubric of stam etzim v'avanim. Stam Eitzim Va'avanim are just plain, untouched, unprepared stones and twigs, branches, all these things we should be aware are Muktzah on Shabbos. They're some of the favorite playthings of some of our children. Should just be aware that this was when we were at the old building. And now we have other issues, but the driveway, like the gravel in the driveway, kids will like pick up the stones. And I'd often be saying, kids, you can't, don't pick up rocks on Shabbos unless it's to throw out the cars. Now we have the other, we have an acre of woods behind the property. So now we have all these twigs and everything. So you should just be aware. Now, again, this actually just happened. This happened. There were a bunch of kids who were playing like behind the shul. There's a huge mound of dirt, and they're like picking up the dirt. And so, you can't throw dirt on Shabbos. Can't throw dirt on Shabbos. First of all, because it's gross, and you're wearing nice clothing. And also, if you're throwing it at other people, that's a big problem. That's if you're throwing dirt at a person on Tuesday, that's probably Nisr D'Araisa. If you're also throwing it on Shabbos, that's also Nisr D'Rabbanan. Dirt on Shabbos is muktzah. So the point is that if it's set aside and you bought a sandbox and built a sandbox and have a sandbox specifically for kids to play in, then it's a plaything. It's a toy like any other, and there's no other malacha in terms of playing in sand. That would be mutter. However, aval aser la'arbev es hachol b'mayim, this always happens, right? Kids, in the summer especially, my children, there's just a constant procession leading like from the bathroom of children holding vessels of water. Where are you guys going? What's going on? What are you doing? Where are you going? Oh, what do you the thing? Like, comes Elishev with like one of those Poland Spring massive bottles that sits on top of water. I'm just, we're doing a thing outside. And balloons and just vessels, bottles and guns, constant water. So you got to be careful on Shabbos. Be careful on Shabbos because this really could be an actual Isser D'Oraisa. If you're mixing sand with water on Shabbos, that's a real issue and isser of Lisha. To pour water on top of sand, that's a problem. That's kneading, creating a muddy and mucky kind of substance on Shabbos is actually an issue of kneading, even if you're not using flour, even if it doesn't become a dough, even if it doesn't become even a batter, even if it's not edible, it's still a problem of Lisha if you develop some sort of paste on Shabbos. Now, let's say you have sand that hasn't been prepared, that wasn't set aside, then could go chol she'al sfas hayam, like just sand at the beach, or chol ha'omed l'binyan, or let's say it's just sand at a construction site, then ein heter l'tatlo b'Shabbos of Yom Tov, then it's usher to move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That is absolutely muktzah. And again, that's without talking about throwing it at other children or human beings. That would be a problem in of itself. Okay.
Rabbi, quick question.
Yeah, sure.
Any issues with like walking on it? No, it's just playing.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Meaning like climbing that mountain that we have in the back.
Yeah,
I couldn't get them on that. Strictly speaking, that is mutter. Conquering that mountain of dirt that we have in the backyard, that is mutter. But picking it up is a problem. Picking up twigs, it's an amazing thing to me. It's an amazing thing. Children think that everything is muktzah. Everything is muktzah. What did somebody, one of my, Tamar, I think, just said something to me. It was an absolute malacha, which is, all right, that's muktzah on Shabbos, right? It's much worse than muktzah. It's much worse than muktzah, sweetie. That's an Isser Skila. So it's the muktzah, everything is muktzah. If something is usher on Shabbos, it's muktzah. Muktzah really means there are certain objects that you can't pick up and you can't move on Shabbos because they're earmarked, because they're set aside for non-Shabbos purposes. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's something that you use specifically for a malacha. There are all kinds of reasons. One of those categories, again, is this general category, general issue of stam eitzim va'avanim, things that are just exist naturally, stones, rocks, pebbles, dirt, wood, trees, twigs, stick, call them whatever you like. If they haven't been specifically set aside before Shabbos for, let's say, the purpose of playing, then it is presumed that they are all muktzah on Shabbos. You should be aware of this, meaning, so this is what I mean that's so amazing. A child will tell you that to, let's say, pull a twig off a tree is muktzah, right? But you could pick it up once it already fell down. Picking it up once it already fell down, that's muktzah. Pulling it off the tree is a malacha of kotzer. That's again, that's an actual malacha. That's an itzer d'oraisa. It's very, very serious. It's all serious, but that's even more serious. Picking up a twig, even if it already fell the day before, then that would be a problem of muktzah, unless it comes from the child's special twig pile that they set aside. These are my Shabbos sticks. This is what I use to, you know, whip all my friends on Shabbos. Therefore, again, mutter on Shabbos, usher because of being adam l'chavero. We should be mindful of both. Okay, so mutter l'sachek ba gulot. It is mutter to play with marbles. So this is, I don't know, super relevant today. I think we've basically moved on from marbles. The kids have lost their marbles. So we basically moved on from these things in terms of recreation, in terms of having nothing better to do. But we should be aware of the following. When we, strictly speaking, the issue of, let's say, ball playing on Shabbos, the way that it's discussed in the Gemara, is not an issue so much of ball playing, it's an issue of ball rolling. And the example that comes up specifically is playing with marbles. The problem with playing with marbles, there are a number of issues. It seems most likely that what would be done is that marbles would be taken out to some area outside, and you would then go about like smoothing out the actual surface of the playing field in order to create like an even surface to be able to roll the marbles on. And however it is that they would go about actually playing, but that's how it would be done, which is which may be a number of problems. It could be a problem of of choresh, of plowing, maybe some other things as well, depending on what actually takes place. If you're creating like a ridge around it, it could actually be bona, all kinds of different things. So that's how the problem originally occurred. So what Rav Neuwirth is saying is that it is mutter to play with marbles. The issue is not the marbles per se, who she is chok behen b'sof habayis, if you play with them indoors. So if you play with them indoors, it's mutter. As long as obviously you're dealing with like an actual regular floor, not just like an earthen floor, but if there's a real floor that's put down, then it would be mutter to play with them inside the house. So this is interesting though. But to play with them outside, even if you're playing with them on a real floor, on a real ground, you're playing with them on a patio, playing with them in the driveway, playing with them on asphalt, playing with them on, I don't know, on a deck or something like that, that would still be usur. Because that likely, as explains in this footnote in Yud Zayin, comes within the purview of the original takana, the original gezerah, to not play with these marbles because kids, maybe even older kids, were actually and actively creating a playing surface. So that's the concern. Now, consider that in the context of the following, and we'll end here. But take a look at Vav. So there's no reason to say that ball playing should be asur on Shabbos. Lahotzi mischak kadurego, with the exception of kadurego. Kadurego is the same issue. When you're talking about something that specifically rolls on the ground, so this, he says, is problematic on Shabbos for the same gezerah. Okay, so we have this gezerah of not playing a game that involves rolling a ball on the ground on Shabbos. Part of the concern may be that the actual ball could potentially be making a groove. That may have been the issue with the original marble playing. Either way, that becomes a formal gezerah in of itself, formal decree that we need to avoid. So playing with something where you're rolling a ball on the ground on Shabbos, that becomes problematic in of itself. So that is afilu michutz labai. So with the exception of a soccer ball, it still should be mutter, meaning we shouldn't say that it's necessarily asra filu mechutz labayis, even if you're playing outside. But makom sheish erev, assuming there's an erev and it's mutter to there's no hutzah issue. V'hu adin l'gabi mischak tennis hashulchan. This is also true for table tennis, also known in Ivrit as ping pong. So that's mutter on Shabbos, meaning it's not that something is usher just because it's usher, just because it's usher. The particular example is also illustrative though. There is, and this is, very much like top of mind because my son is starting to come of age on this. There is a fairly, I don't know, ancient tradition to generally look down at ball playing on Shabbos. Not for these reasons. And this becomes part of the confusion, meaning that yes, the Gemara does speak about ball playing on Shabbos. Yes, it's brought down already in the Shulchan Aruch and it's in all the, you know, classical sources. But the whole issue is that you might come to make like a furrow in the ground or smooth out the playing surface. And as long as we can avoid that, if we're playing basketball on asphalt, or if we're playing, you know, baseball or whatever, maybe baseball will be a problem anyway, but then that shouldn't violate this issue. This is true. And I just want to introduce, and we're not going to spend too much time on this right now, but just another consideration to be aware of is just the general issue of Ovda D'chol. Right? Ovda D'chol is engaging in the kind of behavior that smacks of what we do during the week, particularly when it's of a nature whereby people, kids, adults, exert themselves, really, really exert themselves. It's a very, very difficult balance to maintain, especially because we have kids. You know, the other consideration is, right, so what's the answer? What's the answer? I think I've mentioned this here before, certainly in some other shiurim. What's the answer? So the Sefer HaChinuch, right, the Sefer HaChinuch, which is a wonderful, wonderful work of halacha and hashkafa, written in the time of the Rishonim. The Sefer HaChinuch was authored because the author looked at his son and looked at his friends, and he said, you guys don't have enough good stuff to do on Shabbos. You're like wasting your time away. So what he did was he wrote a book. He wrote a sefer, something that would be engaging, that would be interesting, that went through all of Tayag Mitzvos, gave them a little summary, and was interesting and was inspiring. And he spoke about the reasons for the mitzvos. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, smaller children would be able to learn. So I'm speaking to myself that when I think about like my own kids, you know, what they're doing on Shabbos, I don't know that I'm ready to author the book that's going to save the day. So there is a reality there that like, oh, don't worry, just come and sit next to me on the couch and I'll tell you stories all Shabbos long. That's not usually going to fly. So there is this balancing act that we need to be aware of. I'll tell you that when we were in camp, what we sort of came up with, this was in consult with the Rabbanim that we had in camp, at Camp Kaylee with Rabbi Rosner, that we would allow for informal sports playing, but no formal games. So what that looked like was like you could have a catch. You could have a catch in front of your bunk. You could have a frisbee catch in front of your bunk outside on main campus. But you couldn't, let's say, get an actual formal game together. You couldn't play like ultimate frisbee on Shabbos. That's where, like, that's as far as when I think they even have been allowed to shoot around. I don't remember how we dealt with basketball. I'm not sure. But anyway, these are the point is that one issue and one consideration is this actual issue of ball rolling and rolling potentially even off pavement onto other areas, especially if that's the nature of the game itself. That's one consideration. Another consideration is just we should always be mindful of any of these things. This is going to come up again and again and again, this issue of Ovda D'chol. Ovda D'chol, does this become too much like what we do during the week, right? Like it's like a lot of schwitz and a lot of running around and a lot of just, you know, not the like ideal, I don't know, docile and tranquil kind of air that we would hopefully have for Shabbos. It comes with no small measure of needing to up our own game also, which is a challenge. But anyway, the point is that these are certainly the kinds of conversations we should be having. We should be having with each other. We should be having on a communal level. We should be having with our own families, our own children, and having some sort of line in the sand where we say, you know, okay, you can do it, you know, to this degree and in this manner, but you know, but not beyond that, because that becomes just too much like, you know, what happens on a regular Sunday, let's say. Okay, still a little bit to talk about in terms of balls ending up in trees and things like that, but I think we will hold it here. Any questions before we sign off? I think there's one on the chat. Question on the chat. What's another example of ball rolling on the ground that's usher aside for marbles? So he's speaking about soccer. Soccer where by definition, you are playing with something that's rolling on the ground. Maybe Gaga would fall, would fall under this, where you have something that specifically is Davka rolling, and that's the whole nature of the game, perhaps. But I'm not. I wanna say that Betoras Efsher possibly. See if I could do a little more research on that, because even the notion of this being a formal gazera. So if it's a formal gazera, so then how far reaching is it actually, and how far does it go? See if I can get some more info for next time, ball rolling on Shabbos, and maybe which games.
Okay. Because I thought you mentioned soccer was technically okay.
So he says the opposite. He says, "Ein lasar mischakei kadur." Right? You shouldn't. We shouldn't prohibit. This is in number vav. "Ein lasar mischakei kadur." Don't prohibit. We shouldn't prohibit ball playing. "Lahotzi mischak kadurega," with the exception of kadurega, right? Soccer kadurega being usser. I feel like it's a bias when it comes to other ball playing. That would be mutter even outside. But Malcolm Sheisher, who had done the gabim mischak tennis hashulchan, with ping pong certainly is mutter. I also, and I think it's just illustrative also that the example is ping pong. But the example is something that you could basically do while you're standing stationary, standing in a suit. You know, it's a rather docile game. But again, these things aren't so. Something like Benoser Avosubanim Girls Tilling Group just starting out some ideas. Excellent, excellent. Yes, Maria, these are great. Maria, do you want to lead one? Do you want to lead one? Always looking for volunteers. Yes, excellent, excellent. These are the kinds of things that we need to do. It doesn't, admittedly, it doesn't solve the whole problem. Doesn't have the whole problem. I have found with children, it is remarkable to me that you could have come home from a 4-hour extravaganza, whatever it was, whether it was a stellar Benos program, ice cream party, trip to Six Flags, whatever. You've been in the door, barely have time to take off your jacket, and I'm bored. So it is constant, but nevertheless, I don't think that it's an impossibility here. You have to give a little bit and recognize, especially Bizman Hazeh, kids are kids, but still not to just completely give up or completely throw in the towel on Shabbos afternoons. Yeah. Shabbos afternoons, especially these days, are long. But yes, excellent, excellent suggestions. Okay. So, Chever, let's hold it here, and Mitzah Hashem. So I think we'll try to stick to like a shorter-ish shir. I'll try to make sure that we get started by 9 as much as possible, but I'm game if you are, even as the time gets a little bit later. Okay, thanks, everybody, for coming on, and have a wonderful week. Well,
thank you.